This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected. 90s prices on box mac and cheese. And 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Justin Jefferson is on that list.
He is not. They were pretty low on receivers. He's actually not the number one receiver, which is surprising. He's number 18.
Jamar Chase is the number one receiver?
Let me double check that.
I'm going to say also on that list.
I believe A.J. Brown is the top receiver.
Really?
Which seems kind of silly. But yes, A.J. Brown, I believe, is 16, the highest receiver.
I don't agree with that. So they're not. Saquon Barkley is in the top 10 ahead of Watt.
He is not, but there is another running back that is ahead of him.
Derrick Henry.
He's number 8.
Give me the rest of the list.
Okay, so number 3 is Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Number 4 is Lamar. I don't know if you mentioned him.
Yeah,
or not.
I said they were probably in there. I just
Chris Jones of the Chiefs is number 6. And number 9 is George Kittle, tight end for the 49ers.
I thought about Kittle, but you said that wide receivers didn't have much value in, so I wondered if Kittle would be on that list.
Yeah, I'm not going to necessarily disagree with any of those, but the fact that
how is Barkley and Jefferson not in the top 10?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's that much of a disparity between Watt and Garrett, I think, is the big story there.
All right, let's go to our friend Harry in Westview wants to chime in. Harry, what's my problem today, Harry?
Oh, I doubt you have any problems. You're working the main shift, my man.
Any problems today, Harry?
What's your problem, man?
None.
Everything's smooth as silk. You know what? Harry Callis, I tried to get him a bus one time.
Really? How did that turn out?
Well, the church wasn't selling the bus. They decided not to. And then Harry found out it was $1,300 a month for insurance. So I guess Harry went out.
So that's why he didn't decide to go to the bus. Harry Callis decided the bus was too expensive for his endeavors.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to do on this bus.
I don't even want to know. Curiosity piques a wondering mind, Harry. I don't want to know what's going on that bus. What you got for me?
Yeah, I didn't want him to sign Watt. I was hoping to actually make him play it out and really make him feel the pain. You know, I mean, he hasn't won nothing here. Even trade him, I wouldn't have cared about that. But they seem to have an emphasis on all he signed. Look at, you mentioned that list of highest paid players. How about 3 linebackers on that? That's a little odd.
Highsmith, that's Queen.
A little odd.
And I also want to mention, Metcalf. Metcalf's getting $30 million. The way that they structured the deal with over the cap listing it's a little bit different. So Metcalf is also in that list. I should add that caveat. Go ahead, Harry.
No, that's it. You should just show up tomorrow and tell Callis he's not working. You're there instead.
What is up with everybody throwing shade at Harry?
It's like George Costanza.
Appreciate it, Harry. We'll see what my problem might be.
He doesn't want another Harry competing with him.
I think my problem would, I'd have lots of problems if I went at Callis. Callis is well-liked. You know, Harry does, he did a really good job with the wiffle ball call. I like Harry. I'm surprised, will Rick in Madison, Wisconsin, or wherever Rick is calling from, throw some shade at Harry Callis, Rick?
Nah, that's not my style.
All right, what you got?
What's going on, Austin?
I'm
hey,
good.
It's good to hear you.
Good to talk
hey,
to you.
Listen, I'm here in Cheeseland, and does Omar Khan know that the let's set the whole Aaron Rodgers thing aside here, but does Omar Khan know that the Packers have an absolute overload in their receiver room, and there's no way they're going to be able to keep a lot of those quality receivers?
Who would you trade, Rick? Dobbs or Watson?
I you know, for the Steelers, I think I would go for Watson. I know he had some injury issues, but you know, they, you know, that the Wicks, and they're overloaded. I'm hoping that they're, you know, maybe they might hold out to see which one gets dropped out of camp, or there's no way that the Packers are going to be able to hold on to two or three of those guys. And I'm hoping, I would like to see Watson here. I think he would be a nice number two, even though with his history of injuries.
Yeah, they both could be, Rick, and I appreciate the call. Both of those guys, I think, are intriguing options for maybe like a third round pick, maybe a second. And look, if you can get another young wide receiver to basically replace George Pickens without the headache, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Omar Khan looks at it. They need to add another receiver. It's just probably going to end up being a free agent wide receiver at a low rate. Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Mostly sunny today and a high of 81. That's Jesse James, our Fan Weather, brought to you by Myers Law Group. Let's talk to Nick Faribault coming up next. The training camp report. Before we get to training camp in a couple of days, what's Nick keeping his eye out for? That's next. Austin Bechtold filling in for the guys on Pomp and Joe. Texter, my nephew can sell Callis a bus. Is he still interested? Sean, would you help lead the charge for Harry to acquire his bus? I think he has like three cars.
Well, he's got a van, I believe.
He does have a van.
And he showed me it, and there's like a little secret area that he could put like his...
A secret area in the van, Sean.
I don't want to say too much, but... Yeah, one time I went golfing with him. It was myself, intern Dom, and Callis.
Oh, I heard that once. Well,
it wasn't great, but he was showing off his van to us afterwards. He was very excited to show us the little compartments.
To show you the van.
Yes.
Be careful with Harry's van there.
I did not get inside it.
That's probably.
I think there was some candy he was offering, but I decided just to admire it from a distance.
Well, the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick Faribault of Penn Live joins us now.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
Nick, if Harry Callis offered to take you for a ride in his van, would you accept?
I don't know. I've never met Callis.
Really?
I've never put that in the works. Yeah, we've actually never crossed paths, believe it or not. So I don't know. I'd have to judge first. So I'll go with better judgment. I probably would. Usually, you know, as long as they're acquaintances with people I know, I will usually. But I don't know. I don't know Callis. So maybe.
That's a interaction I think we're going to have to set up. But first, the Steelers have announced the throwback uniforms that they will wear against the Green Bay Packers Sunday Night Football. Intern Dom has chimed in saying these suck. There seemed like there's mixed reaction. Crowley gives it a 7 out of 10. Pat Freiermuth and Alex Highsmith modeling the jerseys that are the 1933 throwbacks from the original Steeler uniforms. What do you make of it? And what do you make of the gold helmet that they debuted? I'm with Crowley. I think I give it a 7 out of 10. I kind of like these throwbacks. A lot of people wanted the Bumblebees back, but I feel like if you have a throwback, you're just not going to go back to it. You know, like you're throwing back to the throwback.
Yeah, so I was in an entirely different camp. I was hoping they were going to have all white throwbacks.
Oh, that's a great pick.
They had an all white jersey in the early 1970s. That is really nice. That'll come at some point, but I hope they do it sooner rather than later. I love the helmet. I think the helmet's great. The gold helmet's awesome. I think they should always have a gold helmet. It works with a lot of different things. I'm not a huge fan of the jersey. I think the jersey's a little harsh. Just the design is a little overcrowded to a degree. It is ugly in the way that a 1930s throwback uniform should be ugly.
But we all thought the Bumblebees were ugly until they put them on the field and they played so well in them.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, the Bumblebees, actually, when you look back at it, I mean, aren't that bad. It like makes sense. But this one is just, it's not cohesive to me. I'm not a huge fan of beige pants, but then again, it's a 1933 pants. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not a huge fan of the jersey pant combo, to be quite honest with you. Aesthetically, I respect the historical choices around it. But I'm not a huge aesthetic fan of that. But I love the helmet. I absolutely love the gold helmet.
All right, Nick, Wednesday, report day to St. Vincent College. First day of practice open to the public is on Thursday. What is the number one thing that you want to ask somebody, and who is it, going into camp?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I have two really big questions I want to ask. First is to Jalen Ramsey. What's your role going to be? I think that's so huge to figuring out how this defense is going to play and how this secondary is going to play. I mean, if Jalen Ramsey's your slot corner, outside corner, not doing much safety, and is kind of your sub-package extraordinaire, I think that changes a lot of things. So I think that's really important. And the second one is actually to TJ Watt, and it is really, how is your game going to evolve as you get to your 30s? You know, are you going to go away from speed? You're going to try and get more into your power side of your game. He looks bigger in those photos he had with Herbig last week, right before he signed the contract. Wouldn't surprise me if he's going to try and focus more on power, moving around the formation, things like that, man. If he's going to make this contract worth it, he's going to have to evolve. His game's going to have to change. He can't just be a primary speed rusher at 33 years old in 2 years, which is where he'll be. So I'm really interested to see all of those. So those two things are actually my biggest questions, and it's on the defensive side of the football.
What about if he's actually going to move around a little bit in the defense? Like, will Mike Tomlin, will Terrell Austin put him in a position where he has the best matchups possible? Because that's something that, like, look, Cleveland will move Myles Garrett around. If everybody loves to compare the two, why does TJ Watt have to be stationary in his position?
Yeah, I mean, that's a TJ thing to a degree, I think. I think TJ likes to play all over the right tackle. He's static. He's just really good there. He's more productive there. The stats bear that out. When he does switch sides, he's not as effective. But he does need to move around. Teams just teed off on him. And I do think that's a big question to ask, and one of the big questions to ask. Because, listen, when we asked him at the end of last season, he said he wanted to move around. So how has his training been going, right? I mean, you can obviously improve from one side and over the A gap and over the B gap. Alex Highsmith said in May that they're going to do it. So it seems like that's going to be something coming to the Steelers defense. It should have been there a long time ago, because TJ Watt, when you look at it, Austin, I mean, he's the only star pass rusher in the NFL that doesn't move sides. Yeah. I mean, he just is. Every other pass rusher switches sides. You have guys that stand on one side predominantly, which is fine, but you got to mix it up a little bit to mess with protections, to help others come free. And the Steelers need to do more than just moving him around, too. They need to overload blitz to his side. They need to stunt. They need to do other things, too, to help him when he is at over the right tackle on a wide nine. So there's a lot of things going there, but moving him around is so basic and I think so easy to do, just to give teams a little look and help TJ Watt a little bit.
Have you heard anything about a wide receiver or a safety maybe appearing in a hot air balloon or in a helicopter or any big arrivals that will happen this year for like a new player, like maybe Justin Simmons, Gabe Davis? Could they add at that position at the start of camp or at some point during?
I do think we're going to see someone added at some point. I do think, you know, wide receiver, they've continued exploring that market. It's never gone cold, so we'll see. I do think Gabe Davis is probably the likeliest one in that market just because he's vet minimum. You can kind of fit him in there pretty easily. Fits what they like to do at wide receiver too. At safety, I think they have a few coals in the fire there. So I do think we're going to see someone come in at some point. I'm not sure it's going to happen tomorrow or Wednesday, but we've seen mid-camp signings before. Quan Alexander was signed in the middle of training camp. They traded for Joe Schobert in the middle of training camp. It's not unrealistic to see them do that. They're also, I think, going to really look at the waiver wire when, you know, cut down day comes along to see if there's someone out there that they really like. So I think we're going to see people added to both of those rooms before the 53-man roster is finalized before they head to New York.
Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Bigger need for a significant season this year, Nick. Broderick Jones or Joey Porter Jr.?
I mean, it's Broderick Jones, no matter what. Not that Joey doesn't need to have a big year, but Broderick, is literally not going to be starting next year if he doesn't have a good year. I mean, we're talking about territory where the Steelers are probably going to move off him this year if he doesn't play well. It just is that bad. I mean, you look at the tape last year, Austin, and I watched this tape back. I've kind of gone back since January just to watch some of the tape to refresh myself before I go to camp. And I mean, he was a disaster last year. I think that's an appropriate word. He was awful. You know, just blown mental assignments, technique all over the map. He was worse than, you know, the live watch, I think, show. The tape is bad. So if they can get average play out of him, I think that's a victory this year. That's the right step in the direction. So I think Broderick Jones has to have a bigger year than Joey Porter Jr. And he has a lot of pressure on him as the left tackle, too.
When would you expect Caleb Johnson to significantly factor into the offense? Like, do you think it's going to be a 50-50 balance? Will Warren start out with 70% of the carries? I'd imagine that Warren is going to be RB1 when they start training camp drills. But how much do you think that Johnson could start to run with the first team?
Well, I do think that he's going to start with a significant role right away. But I don't think he's going to start right away. I think Jalen Warren will start. And listen, Warren's such a good running back. I think he's going to have a really good year. I mean, wouldn't shock me if he staves off Johnson the whole year. I think he's very underrated. But I do think, you know, we're talking November, December-ish probably is realistic to where I think we can think of Caleb Johnson potentially flipping kind of the load. So my guess is, you know, week one, we're going to see something to the effect of a 60-40 split, somewhere around there. I do think Kenny Gainwell is going to factor into that as well. I think he's going to play a little bit. So I think we're going to see three running backs probably this year to a degree. So maybe more like, I don't know, 55-35 between those two. And then you get Gainwell in there as well. But I think by, you know, the end of the year, we can see it kind of approach something like an even split, or maybe even KJ getting more, you know, 50% of the snaps. I think he's going to play a ton on early downs. I really think that's where he's going to eat early on. He's going to run the ball. His pass pro is a big work in progress. He's not a natural receiver. Didn't really do it a lot at Iowa. He showcased natural hands in the spring, so I thought that was encouraging. But his receiving side of the game and the pass side of the game, pass pro, has a lot of work to do before he can take over that role. And until he does, Jalen Warren's just going to play a lot. He's such a good pass pro guy. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. So until that changes, I think Warren's going to get the lion's share of the carries. But the early down work, I think we can see a lot of Caleb Johnson there.
Sean, the thought of leaving you out of this conversation leaves Malzi very sad.
Well, I would like to ask a question to Nick. So everyone has been without NFL football for so many months that there's such excitement once training camp does finally open that people seem to react and maybe overreact to everything. What do you think will be the biggest overreaction to the training camp as a whole, especially the early stages of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be something to the effect of Aaron Rodgers is like MVP form or something like that. Everything just reaches like a fever pitch at training camp because guys make really good plays. They're athletic. They have great natural tools. And Rodgers has great natural tools still. He's going to make great wowing throws that people are going to be like, ooh, this guy's still in 2022 MVP form. And we just won't know that until he gets on a football field, until he gets on a live football field where he is tackled and pressured. We will not know that. So that'll be one overreaction. You know, you're probably going to see some hype for the wide receivers and Juan Thornhill, I'm sure. And people are going to try and convince you that wide receiver two and safety aren't issues. We get that every year where maybe, remember last year, Van Jefferson's having a great camp.
Yeah. Oh, the camp darlings.
Right. And it just happens. And Calvin and Roman are going to have good camps. I guarantee it because they are the type of wide receivers that have good camps and good practices. And I think they actually are solid pieces. I think they're solid players. But those are both issues. So, you know, between all those storylines, you're going to see, I mean, the biggest overreaction is probably going to be the wide receiver and safety rooms, I'm assuming, because we're going to see people probably sit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay, those guys were fixes, but the tape last year, I think, would not agree with that in a lot of ways. But we'll see overreactions across.
Is Juan Thornhill as bad as we think he is, and we shouldn't talk ourselves into thinking he can be a starter?
Well, how bad do you think he is?
Well, I think he's probably a bottom 7 or 8 safety in the NFL. Like, I don't think he's somebody that should be...
Like a starting safety? Yeah.
Yeah, starting safety. I don't think he's somebody that can significantly factor in for them. Like, Joe thinks that it's not big of a trade-off between Minka and Juan Thornhill, where, look, whether they were hiding Minka, Nick, playing him so far off the ball, or Minka just doesn't have it anymore. Part of that is true, but I'd still rather have him over Juan Thornhill, who had more calf injuries than the White Sox scored runs over the weekend. Like, this is not a guy who is a significant factor into the defense. Or I think really,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I just don't think that he really has it anymore. He's kind of maybe not washed is the right word, but he's not a starter anymore.
He had a calf issue last year, a shoulder issue. And his tackling showed it. He was a real bad tackler in open space. Listen, as a free safety, you're supposed to be the last line of defense. You're supposed to save those yak plays from turning into touchdowns. Minka did a great job of that. Not that you pay $23 million per year to do that, but he did do that. Thornhill last year oftentimes would just whiff on guys, and that really forced the Browns, when they are man-to-man, to do a lot of different things, because the catch and run stuff last year hurt them a lot, because Thornhill would miss tackles. He'd take bad angles. I thought that was an issue. He's still a ball hawk. I think that's part of it. If he can stay healthy, can he maybe try and find his previous form with the Chiefs? I guess he could. I can't rule it out completely, but I think that's talking yourself into something that you have no evidence of. And so while that would be great, and I think would be a welcome surprise and everything, I do think that Thornhill's not a very good starter. I loved Juan Thornhill actually as a third safety. I love the idea of it. You know, roaming the deep middle, being a guy that can make plays on the ball. I think that's a good idea. But having him as a starter, I think, is a real reach for Pittsburgh right now. So, I mean, I would go out and, you know, we talk about Justin Simmons. We talk about Julian Blackmon. We talk about one of those two guys. I'd go out and sign one of them, slot them in as the starter, keep Thornhill as the third safety. And if Thornhill ends up finding form, great.
Nick Faribault is on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Nick from Penn Live. All right, Nick, do you think that we could see a little bit more Jalen Ramsey at safety to basically eliminate the idea of Thornhill there, where instead of they're going to bounce Ramsey around a lot, whether it's the slot, outside corner, maybe even at safety. Do you see a lot of the times where it's just going to be the three corners, Slay, Ramsey, Joey Porter Jr., and Elliott, and that is just entirety of their secondary? Maybe Beanie Bishop factors in?
I'll say this. I don't see Jalen Ramsey ever playing safety in base. I don't think that's a thing. I do think in sub packages he can do it a little bit. He could be the third safety, if you will, in some of those nickel dime packages. Remember when Cam Sutton was the dime backer and sometimes he would rotate back and become a safety and do different things? I think Ramsey can do that. So I think we can see him there. So like a pseudo safety, but not really a true safety yet. I think he's still a little bit away from having to make that move. Where I do think we're going to see him a lot this year, I think he's your starting slot corner, and I think they're going to play nickel more than they have really recent memory. So I think he's going to be in there a lot. I'm interested to see who the sixth defensive back will be. You know, you mentioned that, right? I mean, who is the sixth defensive back in dime? Is it Beanie? Is it Corey Trice? Is it, is it someone else?
James Pierre for the 10th year in a row.
Right. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I think it's an interesting question of who that guy is going to be. But what I do think is Jalen Ramsey is going to be like this matchup super piece that you can use in sub packages. You need him to take on a tight end 1 week? Sure, he can do that. You need him to take on a receiver the next? Go do that. You need him to be a blitzer, run support chip? He can do all that. So you can do a lot of different things with him as a piece because he's such an impact player around the line of scrimmage and around that area of the field, whereas Minka was a big-time impact player 20 yards down the football field. And I think that's what the Steelers are hoping here. They get versatility closer to the line of scrimmage, to take away quick game, to maybe play a little more man-to-man. So I don't think we're going to see Jalen Ramsey in a true safety role really ever, but kind of a pseudo safety role. It's very similar to how the Ravens use Marlon Humphrey. It's kind of similar to how the Chiefs use Trent McDuffie. Something like that is, I think, how we're going to see him more than, say, Kyle Hamilton or Brian Branch.
Yeah, also younger, more athletic guys right now, at least the prime of their career. So I wonder, why not Slay? Like, why not move Darius Slay back to safety in a base? Like, you know, not everybody can be Rod Woodson and move from corner to safety, but Darius Slay in what could be his final year, that might be the right avenue for him.
It could be. I mean, Slay's never been a great tackler. He's been a solid tackler. I think that's one deterrent. Ramsey fits the profile of a safety because he can tackle. Yeah. He can blitz. He can do all of that. So he fits that really well. But also, you're not trading safety for safety. That's just not something you're doing, I think. So I don't think any of the corners are moving to safety. I think that their safety answer right now is Juan Thornhill and Deshaun Elliott, and they're going to have to sign somebody to bring in another one. I don't think anyone's switching to safety. So while I think Slay could do it, I also am just not sure how much I want a 35-year-old built for outside corner body flipping over to safety. It's just a more physical position. I'm not sure if Slay's body at 34 going to be 35 can handle that with the frame he has. He'd probably have to bulk up a little bit. So there's a few concerns I have with that too. But I think, you know, when you look at safety answers, they're not internal, they're external.
Aaron Rodgers in his first and potentially only training camp with the Steelers. What are you keeping an eye on from Rodgers? Obviously he's the starter. Everybody's going to overreact to what he does in camp. It's just natural. It's going to happen. It's Aaron Rodgers. There's pressure, four-time MVP. There's going to be a ton of that. What are you watching for from Rodgers, and what do you want to see from him just to make sure that he still has it as we go into him probably playing just one preseason game?
I mean, I'd like to see the mobility flash a little bit, just to see him run around a little bit so he's not a statue. We saw a little bit of that last year where he started to move a little bit around at the end of the last year. So I want to see a continuation of that, the mobility at least being a factor where you can do bootlegs and go under center and do things like that. What I really want to see is the accuracy. You know, I think this might not be getting talked about enough, but when you watch his tape from last year, Austin, he missed a lot of like throws he shouldn't have missed. And it's just throws Rodgers doesn't miss typically. And some of it was, I think, the Achilles injury kind of weighing on his mind still. The footwork wasn't as clean. So he had some bad misses, particularly down the football field last year. So I'm looking for that kind of mid-dish deep accuracy, seeing if that flashes back in. I have no question the arm is still live. He's still got the arm strength. I saw enough in 3 days at minicamp to know that. But I am interested in those two things specifically. And then I'm always interested just to see how he kind of ingratiates himself into the Steelers locker room. I think that's another important thing.
Last one for you before we let you go. TJ Watt got his extension. The idea of extensions are always floated out there at training camp. Who could be the next in line? Do you think that the Steelers are done, or is there somebody else that is going to get an extension in camp?
So I wouldn't be surprised if they're done, but if there's one player they're going to extend, I would guess it's going to be Jaylen Warren. That's who I would say is a potential guy. I think they like Jaylen Warren. I think they like what he brings to the table, and he's a perfect complement to Caleb Johnson. So Caleb Johnson, you know, becomes the star everyone hopes he can be. Jaylen Warren can still be a really good complement, and we see a lot of these really good backfields now having the 1-2 punch. You know, you think of Detroit with the Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. You got that kind of speed, power element. Warren and KJ can actually be a very similar duo in some ways to that. And it's such a running back-centric, tight end-centric offense. You know, you're putting a lot of money into the tight end position. I don't think it hurts, given where you're at, to pay Jaylen Warren for 2 years, say, have him under contract there, and really keep this together. That way you don't need a running back next year. I think it makes a lot of sense for them to look at Jaylen Warren, get him for cheap, and bring him back.
Nick, appreciate your time. Always good talking to you. Enjoy camp. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
That's our guy, Nick Faribault of Penn Live. How about that, Sean? Pretty sweet for Jaylen Warren to potentially receive an extension. I thought he was going to go with potentially Calvin Austin, because I know Nick in the past has said Calvin Austin would be a likely candidate to receive an extension, but he's going with Jaylen Warren.
I guess it depends. Can they get him for a really affordable rate? Because we've already seen they didn't want to commit any money to Najee Harris. They declined his option. It would be curious to me if they gave Warren a decent amount of money to stick around when you think in all likelihood he's probably not going to be your top running back in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But if they could do it on the cheap, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad move. But yeah, that would not have been – you rarely think about running backs getting extensions unless they're clear-cut superstar guys.
Yes.
And obviously Jaylen Warren has not proven to be that. So that was a little surprising. But, you know, again, it you mentioned they need to invest more money on the offensive side. I guess that's maybe a very small step towards doing that. We've already seen them give a lot of money to DK Metcalf. They're paying two tight ends pretty good money now. So if they think that they've got a guy that they could get, you know, at a reasonable price for not a long-term extension, then maybe it does make sense.
Yeah, I would be surprised by that if Jaylen Warren was ultimately the guy. I think they're probably done. Like, play it out with Warren for another year, because if Caleb Johnson becomes a stud for them and becomes a number one back, don't you think that they would just keep him and then not pay Warren? Kind of like how they decided not to pay Najee. So that would be a little bit surprising for me. Warren's been a good back for them, but just in spurts. Like, I don't think he's a lead guy that you would want to pay RB1 type of money.
I guess the question would be, do they think Johnson is one of those rare running backs, because there's not many of them anymore, that could be a clear bell cow 2 years down the road? If not, you're going to have to bring someone else in to compliment him, whether that be a free agent signing or drafting another guy. So maybe they say, why bother doing that when we already have a guy here that we know can fill that role?
Well, even if it's 80-20, like if Caleb Johnson takes 80% of the carries and then you factor in, you know, the Fitz Toussaint of the world and D'Angelo Williams was here with Le'Veon Bell and
I think Gainwell's a decent guy. But I don't know that that's going to be another guy that they would. What was his contract for? Was it just 1 year?
Yeah, just 1 year. You see, that's the thing. Like, I think Gainwell's probably their third down back.
Yeah.
At least in a lot of instances.
I always thought he was good in Philadelphia.
He
didn't get an extended opportunity because he had a revolving door of different guys in front of him, including Miles Sanders and then DeAndre Swift and now obviously Saquon. But every time I saw him get opportunities, it seemed like he was at least, worst case scenario, a serviceable running back.
The Sean Myers Report. What are we calling this? It's the Limitless Express, but with Sean.
So Donnie one time called it the Sean segment, which is like the most boring nickname ever. And that's why it needs to stick.
That's why it needs to stick?
It's the least amount of effort ever to put into something. So the Sean segment.
The Sean segment is up next. Anything to tease to the Sean segment?
We're going to cover a few different sports. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk WNBA.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe I even have a surprise or two. A former pirate might make the Sean segment.
Okay. looking forward to it. And then we will get back to the Steelers at the top of the hour and take your calls at 412-928-9370. The top five things that we're looking forward to, or more so keeping an eye on, I should say, at Steelers training camp beginning on Wednesday. 412-928-9370 if you would like to continue to chime in. Sean, we also have Pony League World Series tickets that we need to give away.
Wow, I did not know about this. This is exciting news. So not Andrew Filippone.
Not Andrew Filippone tickets.
No one would be calling for those tickets.
Would people call to watch Pony play a baseball game? They showed up for
Celebrity
Softball.
I was going to say that kind of just happened. I guess, you know, baseball could see how many people like Doran could take him yard.
So call now to win four tickets to the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Pony Field from August 8th to the 13th. Caller number three to our dear friend Sean Myers at 412-928-9370 will win the tickets. It's the Sean segment up next. Then we'll get into more Steeler talk. We'll continue the Steeler talk in Sean's segment and get into more at the top of the hour as well. Austin Bechtold in for Joe and Bob. It's Pompin' Joe on a Monday. Sean, join Donnie Football at Dino's on Thursday.
Wow.
From 6 to 10 to kick off the start of training camp. How about that? Cool off with an ice-cold Miller Lite and listen to Donnie's takes on the first day of camp. That will be at Dino's on Thursday.
Dino's in Latrobe.
Yes.
Yes.
Because Dino's in where? Westmoreland County?
Greensburg.
Yep. Is gone. And that was Donnie's neck of the woods. That was his hometown Dino's.
Yeah. Greensburg, Salem.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Lum, but he's beloved in Latrobe as well.
Very unfortunate for Dino's. But the Latrobe one is still there. The watering hole for many will still be available. So you can check out Donnie. That's on Thursday from 6 to 10 o'clock. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. It is the Sean segment. It might be the most dull name ever given to a segment in radio history.
Well, just wait till the actual segment happens. But it'll be even more dull.
And it happens now. Sean, the floor is all yours.
So you know none of these topics, which is good. I like to get your natural response to them. I have potentially a half dozen. I don't know that we're going to get to that many. But I want to start in Major League Baseball. And I'm guessing you saw the clip of Ronald Acuna's throw.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
It looked like Dave Parker in the All-Star game. It looked like the throw Clemente made years ago that was just an absolute rocket.
I get so many notifications because, you know, whether it's ESPN or the MLB app, of all these, oh, you got to see this great play. And I'm not disparaging some of the plays, but it's like, all right, I didn't really need to see that. There was nothing that breathtaking. So when I saw you got to see this throw by Ronald Acuna, I didn't really believe it was as good as what it was hyped up to be. And then I saw it, and it was actually underselling it. It was truly one of the best throws that I've seen, in part because he did not come running behind the ball to get momentum. He did it from a standstill. He kind of did a pirouette, which was pretty cool. It was unbelievable. So where does this rank all time amongst the best throws you've seen? And I know you're younger, but you also have an appreciation for some history. To me, it's got to probably be top five. Not that I've seen every great throw in MLB history, but I think of the Jose Guillen one in Colorado for the Buccos. Some people were saying Cruz earlier this season to get J.P. Crawford in Seattle.
That was a great throw.
I think this one was pretty clearly better from Acuna. And of course, Clemente. Pittsburgh fans have been kind of spoiled with some great right fielders with incredible arms. But one of the better throws that I have seen in my lifetime watching baseball was Ronald Acuna's.
The Clemente throw from like close to the warning track on like a short hop to the plate. And I think it was like, the 60s. Unbelievable throw. I think about Dave Parker's throw in the All-Star game, how he won the MVP, gunning a guy out. Wasn't it one guy at third and one guy at the plate? Parker, the All-Star game?
I think that might be right.
That's incredible. You know what's not on that list?
What's that?
1992 in Atlanta.
Ah, Barry.
That would not make the list.
Do you remember the...
That would make one of the worst lists if we're considering throws out at the plate.
That wasn't great. There was one a few years ago when the A's were actually in Oakland at the time. Ramon Laureano, I think, caught one in deep center field and threw a guy out going back to first.
Wasn't that game in Kansas City?
Might have been. That was also spectacular. But to me, this throw, it might be the play of the year in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, because he was deep in right field, close to the corner. He wasn't on the track or anything. But to deliver the strike that he did to third base, pretty much on the fly. Wasn't it just a short one-hopper?
No, there was no hops.
It was all on the fly?
Yes, and it was not only was it on the fly, it led the third baseman's glove
like right
into the runner.
Yes.
And that was similar about the Cruz throw to home. I think was it Davis or I don't know if it was Davis or Bart, right into the tag of J.P. Crawford.
It was
almost identical
in
the way that it happened.
And you could not have put it any better. So just the pure athleticism on display makes me wonder if we do have some recency bias towards it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it's top 10. Incredible throw.
If you haven't seen it yet, you have to check it out.
I also think that what it means in the moment also matters. Like, Atlanta's not good. It wasn't Parker in the All-Star game, stuff like that. Like, how much magnitude does the play have? So that might drop it down a little
bit. Yeah. Another one, Ichiro, his first week in the majors, put everyone on notice with a throw in Oakland.
Yes.
That one's well-remembered as well. All right, next topic, going to go outside of baseball to the WNBA. All-Star game took place over the weekend. I did not watch it. I know that there was a lot
either.
Of buzz that was kind of negated with Caitlin Clark in her adopted hometown unavailable to play. She was a captain, so she picked her team.
But she's been the one that has really grown the WNBA to a point of significant conversation.
Well, that's going to lead into this topic. Did you see the shirts that the players were wearing, their warm-up attire?
I did, and I figured you were going to mention this.
Pay us what you owe us is what the shirt said. I believe all the players wore it. Certainly a bevy of them wore it, if not all. So this starts a conversation. I don't think there's any doubt that this is the high point in the history of the WNBA for its popularity. It is a conversation topic that probably the last 3 years outweighs the prior 20 plus years combined. However, the league for the vast majority, and maybe even still now, is a revenue loser.
So the WNBA last year lost $40 million.
And I would imagine that's much better than what it had been doing a half decade ago, even.
Yeah, when Caitlin Clark is getting them a new TV deal and different transportation. They're not flying commercial anymore. They're flying private now. It's a better situation now because Caitlin Clark has significantly elevated the sport, being the Michael Jordan of women's basketball.
So the question is, pay us what you owe us. What is a reasonable expectation for these players? Because when the league is losing money,
yeah,
how much can they realistically deserve?
That's a great question. Like,
thank you.
The ratings went down in the entirety of the NBA, the WNBA, when Caitlin Clark was hurt. Like, Fox.
And she still is. I think she's had four separate injuries this season, I believe.
Yes. Well, because the referees in the WNBA are doing an awful job of policing the defense. Like, they treat the WNBA in the regular season like it's the playoffs. And yeah, they have a short regular season, but Caitlin Clark is getting knocked around and pushed around to the point where Sophie Cunningham, her teammate, has to basically shove the opponents to get off of Caitlin Clark. Like, I get it. It's a physical league. People like that. They would like it better in the playoffs, and they would like it better. This is what I don't understand from the WNBA. Wouldn't it be better if your star wasn't getting beaten up and unavailable? Don't you want to protect your asset? Protect your big time star?
Like the NFL learned this with quarterbacks.
Like the NFL protects Patrick Mahomes. You would touch Tom Brady. If you breathed wrong on Tom Brady, they would throw a flag. The WNBA should do, like, LeBron. We complain all the time about how LeBron gets all these calls. SGA, you can, like, a feather could fall on SGA in the playoffs and they would have called a foul. They need to protect Caitlin Clark better than they're doing. What are they worth? What are the players worth? I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is it's significantly a lot more when Caitlin Clark is playing, and they should be more appreciative of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. I mean, I'm not the biggest Angel Reese supporter at all, but she is also, with this villain arc with Caitlin Clark, helped to grow in the league.
I think they've, much like Major League Baseball, their next labor negotiation is going to be very public. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. No doubt the league's headed in the right direction, but it would be hard to really ask for a major increase in salary at this point with the league still not being a moneymaker.
Other texters are pointing out that
Bo Jackson
throwing out Harold Baines is absolutely incredible. Next.
Well, we'll get back to baseball. So I don't know if you saw this or not. A former Pirate recently had a pretty cool accomplishment in AAA. 10 strikeouts for 45-year-old Rich Hill.
Back in AAA.
One.
What organization is he in now?
It could be the Royals. We'll have to check. Surprised that he is still giving it a go at 45 in the minor leagues? And how impressive is it that he's able to do this, albeit at a AAA level, with 10 strikeouts?
Yeah, that's surprising because he reinvented himself basically to be a pitcher that doesn't strike anybody out but gets a lot of weak contact. And I guess he's just doing it for the love of the game. Like, Rich Hill has made his money. He has played 20-plus years. He really, at this point, I guess, is just... He signed a minor league deal with the intention of getting back to the majors and then probably get traded to a contender, whether that be in the bullpen or to be a fifth starter.
Will he make it back to the majors?
I don't think so. Well, maybe in September he will, but he's never going to get back to the point of... He's not going to get traded to a contender wherever he is. So I think that this is probably it for Rich Hill. And he will ride off into the sunset. But some people just can't get enough of baseball. Like, last year, he played for the Red Sox. This year, like, he's a career 90-74 record. His first season was in 2005 with the Chicago White Sox. He has not made the majors this year.
He was with the Cubs, I think, right? He came up with the White Sox?
He was with the Cubs to start, yes.
Yeah.
Then he played for the White Sox in... Never.
He's an immaculate grid answer, right? I mean, he's played for so many darn teams.
He's played 6 years for the Red Sox, 4 for the Dodgers, 4 for the Cubs, 1 year in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Baltimore, the Yankees, Oakland, the Mets, San Diego, Minnesota, and the Angels.
There's at least a half dozen teams or so that he can check off that list.
Richel plays for more teams than we change our socks.
You ready for the next topic?
Next.
So over, I guess this was maybe last week or perhaps over the weekend, there was a pickup hockey game or maybe a beer league hockey game, pretty low level stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a nice little surprise for those guys. Two people decided to join in on the fun.
Was Jagr one of them?
No. Although I'm sure he is still playing hockey on a regular basis. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
I don't think I saw this.
Who decided to jump in on this, whether it be pickup or beer league hockey, whatever. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being those guys, and then you see McDavid and Draisaitl come out to play in your game? Could you imagine being a goalie?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Ohtani,
inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.